This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, author of The Coming Revolution. He's also a professor of global strategies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on a number of issues related to that very revolution going on in several places in the Middle East, from Libya to Yemen, and even to today's terrorist bombing in Jerusalem. And Dr. Faris, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start with Libya. There's a lot of concern from some folks who are a little bit leery of the military action America's gotten itself into here, that we don't know much about the people that we're helping. Colonel Gaddafi, obviously, is someone we don't like. No one would be all that sad if he left. But a lot of people are very unclear as to what would replace him. What do we know about these rebels? We see reports that Al-Qaeda is supporting them. So is this a disparate group of people? Is it a monolithic group? How would you describe it?
Well, first of all, Greg, this is a very important question that we need to understand now, address, and have answers to before we open the highways from Benghazi to Tripoli completely and be surprised later on in downtown Tripoli with people maybe we don't know much about or we know too much about, and that would not be a good ending for the story. The opposition in eastern Libya is a mixture of a variety of groups, so it's not the monolithic group. You have the former bureaucrats, former diplomats, military dissidents from the Libyan armed forces, some secular element. All that coalition is good in terms of measurement of being pro-democracy and anti-Gaddafi, and if they will be in charge in Tripoli, they'll be in much better status than Gaddafi. But on the other hand, that same very wide umbrella of Benghazi includes also, Muslim Brotherhood-like organizations who call themselves Islamist or Salafist, who basically would want to establish an Islamist state that would look like Sudan or maybe like Saudi Arabia or eventually some would say like the Taliban in the early days. That would be of concern to the international community. That would be opening the path for the opposition, which has, you know, embedded elements who are Islamist. Now, there is a third player. Al-Qaeda is not really, you know, part of the opposition. Al-Qaeda is a third group, a third player. They are now penetrating Libya as far as we can detect. And as Libya is undergoing a civil war, the elements from Al-Qaeda are coming from the Algerian borders, from the Sahel, the south, southern borders of Libya, and they will play a role only after that issue will be solved, only after there will be a new government and possibly a renewal of the presence of Western institutions inside Libya.
Dr. Faris, whenever there's these competing interests sometimes within a movement, like you mentioned, those maybe loosely affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood or at least pro-Islamist state, and then you have the more moderate types who we'd like to see in power, who generally wins those types of power struggles?
Well, of course, across the board, should it be in Egypt or in other countries in the Middle East, the Muslim Brotherhood or the Islamists are the best organized. They've shown so in the past, and they have shown actually last Saturday in Egypt during the first referendum that their organizational power along with their allies can win the day. And they won the first referendum, although they do not represent a large majority of the popular vote. In Libya, the Islamists, who are now a component of the opposition, if not checked, if the opposition is not quick in showing the world that it has an agenda which is secular, political, democratic, then the future winners of the day in Libya may well be partly the Islamic groups or the Muslim Brotherhood.
Let's move on to Yemen now, and that's been a place of great upheaval for the last few weeks, and especially this week. We saw the president, Saleh, promising to step down by the end of the year. At the very same time, though, he's been granted emergency powers to arrest and crack down even more severely on the demonstrators. This seems, from the layman's eyes, Dr. Faris, to be a situation where there may not be a good option here on which side we're choosing. It's bad and worse, basically. Which side is more in the U.S. interest, and which side's likely to end up winning here?
Well, the scenarios are only two. Yemen could either develop into an Egyptian model whereby the armed forces of Yemen, under our pressure and the Saudis' pressure, would convince President Saleh to leave, and therefore, in an orderly manner, there will be elections and or reconciliation. But that's not what I see happening now. The other scenario, which I hope it won't happen, would be the Libyan model, whereby We know that Yemen's population is armed in general terms. There are already military networks in Yemen fighting the central government. In the center, you have al-Qaeda. In the north, you have the Iranian-backed al-Houthis. And what is mostly disturbing is the fact that at least 3 to 4 military zones within the armed forces of Yemen are now on the side of the rebellion or the side of the uprising. So it is going to be very difficult not to see Yemen slowly falling into the model of, we don't want to call it civil war, but certainly civil unrest.
Well, let's very quickly turn to Israel now. This is the last thing anybody needed when trying to consider what's going on throughout the Middle East. But obviously, we did get today what appears to be a terrorist bombing, certainly an explosion that killed one, injured nearly 40 at a bus stop in central Jerusalem. We haven't seen something like this for a number of years now. What do you make of this and the fact that, to this point, no one's claimed responsibility?
Well, that's the hallmark of those who do not want to tell who they are until they observe what's the reaction of the Israelis and of Hamas. This is a faction which probably, you know, within Hamas or on the sideline of Hamas. We know that in Gaza you have many jihadist offshoots who want to bring back the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Israeli-Hamas, the Israeli-Gaza conflict, so that it would basically save, you know, the region elites or the region regimes from further pressure. Because if it goes back to the Arab-Israeli conflict, most of these revolts and revolutions will actually be halted, stopped, delayed, and then the heat will be back on the Arab-Israeli conflict. That's how I read it.
And do you expect much of a response from Israel? Netanyahu seemed to suggest there would be one today once responsibility was determined.
Well, the key here is once responsibility is to be determined, if the Israelis will find the links that goes all the way to Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad, then expect a reaction and expect an escalation on behalf of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. But if the inquiry will lead to a jihadi group operating out of Gaza not linked to Hamas, then Israelis are going to respond, and the Hamas, you know, leadership is going to say, not in my territory. It's going to have the same result. So whatever is the case, those who have done that act are very close from bringing back the trigger between Israelis and Hamas, which is very dangerous for the region now.
Dr. Farris, fascinating and very good to have your expert analysis on this, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Craig.
Terrorism expert Dr. Waleed Farris. He's author of the very presciently titled Coming Revolution. He's also professor of global strategies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.